My name is Leif. If you guys wasn't here before, probably never heard that name very often. There was an 80s movie star that my mom liked, and so I got stuck with it. But it's glad to be here with you. How many of those patriotic songs we sing, everybody knows the first line of them, right? I mean, you got them like, I don't need to open the hymn book, I know these. And then you get to that second and third, you're like, oh, I don't even recognize this stuff. That's kind of how it is for me. I like those songs, I remember them, but just the very first verse. Last time I was here with you, I talked about going through the three W's. The wilderness, the waiting, and the warfare. And I only got through the wilderness part. If you remember, the wilderness was on the story of Elijah. And this is someone that did 8 miracles recorded in the Bible. And here's someone that went through the wilderness experience in his own life. Has anyone ever went through a wilderness, a waiting period, or warfare in your own life? If you haven't, hold on, you know, it could be coming your way. And even in the story of Elijah, we see how God put him in the wilderness. And if you recall, or wasn't here, or don't remember, that wilderness was first to the brook Cherith. And that was cut off. It was isolated. It was dark. It was lonely, right? But it was for his benefit to be able to remove all the distractions in his life and have God just speak to him on some things and change some things in his life that needed to be changed. And then he went on to the road. That brook dried up. God put him on the road. And you know how sometimes things can be on the road? You don't know what to expect or what's coming next. And then ultimately led him to Zarephath, which is kind of like the pressure, the testing, right? The heat is on and the pressure's on. And you're going through that refining period where you're being heated up and you're seeing what's really inside you. And God's scraping those things off just like a refiner would gold and silver. And that's what we talked about last time in that wilderness season. And those things are uncomfortable. Can I get an amen? They're uncomfortable to go through, but they're for testing and they're for our maturity. They're for our growth. They're for our good. Not only maybe in our own life, but maybe once we go through some of those things, we'll be able to share and be able to help others that are going through those things as well. And so that's what we talked about last time, the wilderness. And today I want to talk about the waiting. And I titled it just let go. You ever heard that expression, let go and let God? Doesn't that sound so easy to do? I mean, doesn't that sound so easy? It's like, hey, we're just going to go climb a mountain today. All we got to do is go up that mountain, you know. Oh, it's Mount Everest. Yeah, all we got to do is climb to the top. That sounds so easy, doesn't it, to say? Hey, all we got to do is, you know, like a chicken cross the road, get to the other side or whatever. There's something waiting on the other side for us. But sometimes we say things that just sound so easy to do, but can be so hard to do. All we got to do is follow Jesus, right? Oh, okay. Nobody else struggled in the Bible following Jesus, did they? All those disciples just, oh, okay, we'll just, you know, go on our merry way and this will be great. No, there's always those trials and testings and things. And I don't know about you, but the wilderness, if that one wasn't hard enough, the waiting. I couldn't wait to share this message, right? Has anybody waited to hear what's coming here for today and let go? Let go and let go. God. That sounds so easy. If anybody likes waiting, you're in good company because you're going to do a lot of waiting in this world, aren't we? We're going to be waiting in line at the restaurants or in the drive-thrus. We're going to be waiting on hold on the telephone to get a hold of this, that, or the other. Right? If anyone's uncomfortable with waiting, we're going to have to wait till we get older. We're going to have to wait till this happens. We're going to have to wait till this person, you know. You're going to spend a lot of your life waiting, so we might as well just accept it, right? Does anyone say amen to that? And what do they say that song? The waiting is the hardest part. The waiting is the hardest part. So we're going to talk about that this morning here. And if you're with me, turn to Genesis chapter 43. I'm just going to read a little bit of Genesis 43, But I want to tell you a little bigger story. For time's sake, I'm going to try to pass through all the reading that we would have to do to tell you this thing. Genesis 43, and I think they have it, 43:11-14 is going to be the scripture we're going to look at today. And what I found very interesting was, not only was this hard for me sometimes to do this waiting, there's a lot of other things I would rather do, but I found in the Bible where somebody else struggled letting go. And when I seen this, it was the patriarch, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so we're going to look a little bit about Jacob. I'm going to tell you a little bit of his story after I open us here in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank you for this day, Lord. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. God, we thank you for 250 years of America, Lord, in a country that blesses you, Lord, that you have blessed tremendously. And Lord, it is not always done things right or perfect, Father, but has given the American flag and the eagle and stood on your word time and time again. We've fallen and risen back up, Lord, but there's always a remnant through this country, Lord, of your people. We thank you for that celebration we had yesterday. We thank you for the cool relief that we had from the weather. And we thank you for this group of believers here today, God. May you bless them and this time together as we open our ears, hearts, and minds to your word. In your name we pray. Amen. So I said how hard it can be sometimes to wait. And it takes a lot of time waiting. But if you're with me to Genesis chapter 43, verse 11 through 14, that's going to be where I go to here eventually. But there's three things that God will usually tell us when we pray. We pray and we ask God for something in our lives. And what's the three things that he usually tells us? Yes or no? And what's the other one you think? Or wait. That's right. Who likes to be told no? No, not really. But who likes to be told wait? Whew, you know, it's a hard thing. I'm telling you, it is a hard thing to do. And when we think of the word wait in the Bible, what is the verse that we always think of? When we think about waiting on the Lord, what is that verse that we usually always think of? Is it Isaiah 40:31? Those who wait on the Lord, right, will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings of eagles. They will run and not faint. They will walk and not grow weary. I might have had that backwards. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint, right? That's what we always think of, that word, Isaiah 40:31. Those who wait on the Lord. That word wait is from a Hebrew word called the kavah. And the kavah is not the wait like we think of. We think of waiting as just like waiting on a train. Oh, I gotta just sit here and wait for this thing to pass. Passively waiting. Is that the kind of waiting that God expects us to do in our lives while we're waiting? Now, if you look at this word in Hebrew called the kavah, this word is not passively waiting, but it's actively waiting. Does anybody know that? It is not sitting in our recliner, looking at the ceiling, say, okay, God, I've tried to make this happen, and I can't do it. You're just going to have to do it. I surrender my control. I give it to you. I let go, and I let God, you know, just tell me when you're ready. That's the way we think sometimes, isn't it? As soon as this train passes, I'm clear. I can go again, right? This word kavah in Hebrew is a very active part of waiting. As a matter of fact, it says it is like a rope. We have all these little strings that's going to surround and entangle themselves. And those strings, when we're actively waiting on the Lord, is to entangle ourselves around Yahweh. And Yahweh is the word for God in Hebrew. And so how do we do that? With his word. We surround and entangle ourselves with his word. Actively while we're waiting. Those who wait on the Lord, right? We think of those scriptures, and maybe the scripture for you is 1 Peter 5:10. That's one of the ones I like to hold on to. And it says, after you've suffered a little while. And I just found out that that word suffer there means after you've stopped doing things in the flesh. You're doing this to yourself, you know. And you start doing things in the Spirit. The God of all grace will himself strengthen, establish, and restore you, right? Maybe your favorite Bible verse is Proverbs 21:1. You know, it's one of mine, you know. The king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and like rivers of water, he can turn them wherever he wishes, right? Your situation, your hard boss to deal with, whatever. He can turn those people and those situations around wherever he wishes. And so while we're waiting, we are entangling ourselves around Yahweh and his word, like all these little strings, and those little strings entangle themselves and they form a rope. And that's something tight to hold on to. That's the kind of waiting God expects us to do. And when we do that, that's actively waiting. That changes that whole verse of Isaiah 40:31, doesn't it? Let's read that again. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Now let's put it in context. Those who entangle themselves with his word around Yahweh will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Not the ones that are sitting just waiting for God to do it for them. When I came across this story of Jacob, I'd never seen this before until I had to go through a waiting period in my life. And I'd never seen the story of Jacob as one that was struggling with the same things that I've held on to and maybe the same things that you've had to hold on to, and that's that letting go and letting God. Here is a patriarch in the Bible that had a problem letting go. And if you remember the story, just for time's sake, I'm just going to give you a little bit of history and background. He waited for Rachel for 7 years. You remember that? He found a beautiful bride that he wanted to marry for 7 years. And then after 7 years, he was tricked in getting her sister instead. 7 years he waited for this bride, Rachel. He loved her. And he was tricked into the story. And so he waited another 7 years. 14 years he waited for his bride, Rachel. He got his bride, Rachel, but she couldn't have kids. He was waiting to have kids with her, right? He loved her. He wanted to bless her with children. She wanted to be blessed. And after 14 years, he got her, and they couldn't have children for a long time. But finally, they had Joseph, right? Joseph had that coat of many colors. We know that story. He loved Joseph because he came from his beautiful, beloved, waited bride. And then after that, they had Benjamin, right? Joseph and Benjamin came from Rachel. But at Benjamin's birth, actually, if you want to do a little background, they wasn't going to name him Benjamin, but Jacob changes Benjamin's name. She wanted to name him something else. They named him Benjamin, and she ends up passing away at birth. So this bride that he waited not only 7 years, but 14 years from, finally had Joseph and Benjamin. And after the second boy, Benjamin, she passes away. He was holding on to her for so long, so tightly, and then he lost her. So what did we do naturally? He held on to Joseph, gave him that coat of many colors. And what happened with the other brothers? They got jealous with him, right? They got upset with him, and he was having all these dreams and all these things that he was going to do, and they didn't really care or like the things that he was saying and doing. But he was just so heartbroken, and he held on to Joseph so tight. And we know what happens with all that jealousy in the brothers, right? Joseph, they end up selling him to slavery, and he goes from the pit to the palace to the prison and all those things that are happening to Joseph, and he loses Joseph. They come back with his coat and says, now the one that you've held on to is gone. And so what does he do naturally? What do we do when we lost something we've held on to? Like Rachel held on to Joseph. Now he's lost Joseph. What did he do? Benjamin, you're all I got left from Rachel. And he holds on so tightly, doesn't he? Does this sound familiar to anybody else that we've done in our life? Maybe we had a rock or anchor. Maybe it was like that source we talked about with Elijah. Maybe it was our job. Maybe it was our relationship. Maybe it was some kind of source that God just says, I'm just going to shut this off. Right? And when that source is shut off, we know all good and perfect gifts come from our Father above. But we make idols out of different things, and we want to hold on to these things sometime. So he loses Joseph, and so now he's holding on to the youngest Benjamin, because that's all he has left of Rachel. And we know the story. He don't know what happened with Joseph. All he knew is Joseph's dead, right? Some wild beast ate him, and all you have left of his jacket. So finally there comes the famine in the land, right? God's setting all this stuff up. He has this famine in the land, and the brothers go to Egypt to buy the grain, and they don't know that that's Joseph that they're buying it from. And he tests them. If you know the story, it's great, it's long, but he tests them, he sends them back, and he says, don't you have another brother? How do I know that you're not spies? Remember the story? And they said, well, yeah, we have, you know, our father still lives, and we have another brother. And he says, well, so I know you're not spies, bring that one back, because he knew that Jacob wouldn't let him go. And so they go back, and they get the food, and they go back, and they said, man, we can't go back unless we take Benjamin with us. And after a while, what happens? The food starts dwindling and dwindling until they're going to starve if they don't go back to Egypt and buy more grain. But they can't go back unless they take the brother. And they finally say, hey, Dad, we've got to take Benjamin with us. And do you think he's just going to let him go? No way, right? So they get dwindled down to where we're going to starve. We could have went there twice now, the Bible says. And so look at verse 43 here, or chapter 43, verse 11 through 14. If you're with me, say, I'm with you. All right. Get on the right page here myself. Verse 11, it says, and their father Israel, that's Jacob, his name was changed to Israel, said unto them, if it must be so, now do this. Take of thee the best fruits in the land, in your vessels, and carry down to the man, which he don't know is Joseph. Present a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and in another translation it says pistachio nuts. So anything in the Bible, you know, is good for you. So honey, pistachios, if you're looking for some kind of health this summer, and almonds. And take double money in your hand. And the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hands, peradventure that it was an oversight. So Joseph sent them away. He gave them that extra little stuff, and they were fearful of, you know, thinking that they were spies and things already. But verse 13 says, take also your brother. What's happening here? He has to let go. Take also your brother and arise. Go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So what he's initially saying here is, I'm going to have to let him go. And God did something amazing. Because if you look and you finish the rest of the story here, what happens? They take Benjamin, right? And Joseph was testing them the whole time. Finally, he reveals himself to the brothers after he sees their heart and repentance. Because he gets to the place where it says, it's a great story if you're not familiar with it. And he says, well, we're just going to keep him here in prison. And the other brother cries out, no, you'll basically kill our father. He loves him so much. You know, if we don't return back with him, you know, you're going to kill our father. And he sees their hearts broken, and he reveals himself, I'm Joseph, your brother that you sold into slavery, and all these things have had to happen. But he said, thank God all these things happened, because what you intended for evil, God intended for good, for the saving of many lives. And so he says, go back and tell your father to come here, and I'm going to send all this stuff with you. And he sends all these donkeys and all this stuff and grain and money and things to bring his father back. I want to see my father. My father loves me. I love my father. But you know what he does not tell them? You know what true forgiveness is? True forgiveness is not counting one's sins against them. He doesn't say, I want you to go back and tell your father everything you did. He didn't make them see face, right? This is true forgiveness. He doesn't hold their sin against them. He doesn't lash out at them. He just has the heart of the Father, right? And he says, I know what happened, but I choose to forget those things. I'm focusing on the good. Here we are. This is what God has done. This is how he's prepared me this whole time for this season. Now go back, tell my father that, just tell him that Joseph is here and to come quickly. That is true forgiveness. If we can get our hearts to that place. But so they do. They go back, they tell brother, Joseph is alive, come quickly. And he comes back, and you know what happens? They hug, all this reunion, reconciliation, everything happens, but it never would have happened if he would have held on so tightly. It never would have happened if he wouldn't have let go of Benjamin. Do you realize that? That's what I've seen for the first time in my life. Let go and let God. And you know what happened when he let go of Benjamin? Not only did he get Benjamin back, praise God, he got Joseph back as well. Can you imagine trying to hold on to just one for so long? He thought Joseph was long gone and dead and everything else. But when he let that go, he not only got Benjamin back, but he also got Joseph back as well. And the Bible records that he had 17 years. 17 years, I believe it was, to love and enjoy and see the kids and grandkids. I mean, he's got grandkids now. He got married. He's got two, Manasseh and Ephraim. And do you know what the word Manasseh means, by the way? Anybody know what the word Manasseh means? Maybe I'll have you look it up. Everybody's got Google or something or whatever. But I'll just have you look that one up, Manasseh. It'll just blow you away. It is amazing. God's word is perfect. It is perfect. Here is a patriarch, someone that we read and look up to in the Bible, but here's someone that had a problem of letting go and let God. How many times have you said that? How many times have you been told that? But I'm telling you, when I read that, what that did in my heart, there's things that I want to hold on to. There's things that I don't want to let go. But I have to kavah, entangle myself around God's word. Sometimes God tells us to do things we don't want to do. Amen? Sometimes God tells us to go places we don't want to go. I've told my kids something I heard not too long ago. So like, hey, Dad wants you, Mom and Dad expect you to obey happily, to obey quickly, and to obey completely. That is great advice, isn't it? Because if you're not obeying happily, quickly, and completely, then that's not obedience. That's half obedience. But you know what that did to me? Kind of put a mirror in my life. Oh man, if I'm not obeying God happily, quickly, and completely, what is that telling them? What is that telling myself? What is that telling others? And we see that all throughout the Bible. Abraham, he tells him, go sacrifice your son, right? What did he do? He says he rose up early, quickly, right? He was happily, he didn't stop, he didn't delay. He took everything completely and he rose the knife, everything, right? God expects that of you and me sometimes. And sometimes he tells us to let go. Happily, let go. All right. You know, happily, quickly, and completely. Not just, okay, you know, I let you go and keep a chain and keep, you know what I mean? But if it gets too far, I'm pulling it back. How many times do we lay things on the altar and just try to pick it back up again, right? We are called to be a living sacrifice. We are to lay those things down. And look what happens in this story when he let go, right? When he truly let go. He didn't know the outcome. And for some of us, it's scary because we do not know the outcome, do we? If I let this go, I don't know what's going to happen. We try to hold on to the outcome. What was that song we just sang, Stand Up for Jesus? The arm of flesh will fail you. Dare not trust your own. The arm of flesh will fail you. Just like I told you in 1 Peter 5:10, you know, it says, 1 Peter 5:10, one of my favorite ones I've been quoting. After you've suffered a little while, after you've tried to do things in the flesh, got to let that go. The God of all grace will himself strengthen, establish, and restore you. But we have to let that go. And just like I read here in Isaiah 40:31, those who wait, actively wait on the Lord, entangle themselves around Yahweh with scriptures, will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I tell you, sometimes when I try to hold on too many times, I grow weary. Sometimes when I try to hold and control things too much, I faint. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it my own strength. The arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. Trust God. We have to be able to trust him, because otherwise that's walking by sight. Well, I can't see the outcome. I'm just going to do this. That is walking by sight. And we are Christians called to walk by what? We are to walk by faith, not by sight. Your surrender to God is much more powerful than your control. Your surrender to God is much more powerful than your control. We cannot control outcomes. We cannot control situations and things. And if you've not been in that place in your life where you try to control everything, guess what? You're going to grow weary. You're going to faint. But God doesn't want our control. He wants our surrender. Surrender it to God. Let go. And let God do it. And I hope that encourages the snot out of you this morning. Not only can you see that for yourselves, for other people, but now we've looked at Jacob, just one example. And maybe when you see that, you'll see it in other parts of the Bible. But I could not believe that I seen that in one of the patriarchs. And so, those three W's in our lives, the wilderness is hard, the waiting, that might be even harder for some of us. But we see what happens at the end there with this story. And that's just one story. And maybe you have your own story that you have waited, or you remember and you can share with other people, or maybe you're in that waiting period right now. Because when you get to the warfare, that's even harder as well, because you're conflicted with spiritual forces and things of that we cannot see and we wrestle against. But I came here this morning and I just wanted to encourage y'all. The waiting is tough. The outcome doesn't belong to us. Surrender to God. I'm going to close this in prayer. I guess you're going to have a hymn of invitation and things. If there's someone in your life, friend, family, coworker, that you know that's going through this part here, I want you to just think about them and pray for them here this morning. It is not easy. It was not easy in my life, for sure. It is not easy with Jacob, as we saw here. But just surrender the outcome to God and just encourage them and think about them and do pray for them, because we know how hard those things can be in life, right? Let's close in prayer. Father God, your word is perfect. As we even just think of these scriptures that we think are just so mundane sometimes, we read through them, we've heard them so many times, they lose their effect. And I pray, Lord, that you are glorified, you're magnified today with just stopping, pausing, and looking at just one little word, wait. What that truly means in our life, what that truly can do for ourselves, for our benefit, for your glory, God, if we do it correctly. We do it actively and not passively. That you have a reason for everything that we go through, whether it's suffering, whether it's pain, that we don't understand the purpose at the time. You don't give us all the details. We can't see the ending from the beginning, but you're doing great things in those seasons of wilderness. You're doing great things in those seasons of waiting. Sometimes we think we're waiting on you, but Heavenly Father, a lot of times you're waiting on us. And as we do, Lord, we thank you for your word that is complete and gives us hope and gives us encouragement. Help us, Lord, to take this and not keep it for ourselves, but to share with others for your honor, for your glory. We give you all the praise. Amen.